So now, what do a downtown Madison high-rise, a series of parks in Racine, the new Glarus Hotel, and a Lake Michigan shipwreck all have in common? They were recently added to the State Register of Historic Places. Good afternoon, I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, who returns tomorrow on The Larry Mueller Show, and our next guest is Elizabeth Hilton, the National Register Coordinator for the Wisconsin State Historic Preservation Office of the Historical Society. She's joining us to talk about the latest inductees into the State Historic State Register. And if you've got some of your favorite historic sites around Wisconsin, why don't you share them with us today at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us talk@wpr.org. Elizabeth, welcome to the Larry Mueller Show.
Thank you, Lee. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so you're the National Register Coordinator for the State Historic Preservation Office at the Wisconsin Historical Society. What's your job like?
Oh, I have one of the best jobs at the Society. I get to travel all around the state and get to learn about all these buildings and archaeological sites that are important to our state's heritage.
So, and as you go around the state, how diverse, how varied are these places?
Oh, they are really varied. When you think about urban centers, you have these big cities down to these rural properties and farmsteads, and then being bordered almost on three sides by water, You have all these other maritime properties as well.
It's kind of like that's what's so great about this place is it is all over the place, everywhere across the state, and you can get everything from a shipwreck to a high rise and all points in between.
That's right.
What's it like when people want to get added to the historic registry and they're not ready yet, or they're too young, or is there some disappointment that comes with having to tell folks that they didn't make the list?
Unfortunately, that's probably the worst part of my job. I really wish we could list more properties on the state and national register. Each property has a history to tell,
right?
But it just might not meet the qualifications for listing. So if you have a property that you're interested in listing and having that honorific designation, we do have a process called a National Register Questionnaire, where you can fill out a short form on our website, wisconsinhistory.org, and you can submit that to our office, and we will review that and get back to you as soon as we can.
So what does it take to make it to the register?
Well, you can qualify under four areas. So it either can represent a broad pattern of history, if you think about trade and commerce or education, or it could be significant with a person in history, somebody that could be a prolific artist or politician, or it could be architecture and engineering when you think of those beautiful Queen Anne residences. But lastly, we also have archaeology. It could have the potential to yield information. So there's really a wide variety there, but it must retain architectural integrity in order to meet that criteria.
So it feels like those criteria are actually part of all of the new additions this year to the state register.
That's right.
So in early March, the Wisconsin Historical Society added a handful of properties to the state register of historic places. And now, Elizabeth, is this an annual occurrence? Does this happen more or less frequently?
Well, our State Historic Preservation Review Board meets four times a year. So we have the pleasure of having a whole quarter to prepare each individual nomination.
Let's start with one of the new additions, and that would be the New Glarus Hotel in New Glarus, added to the state register this year. How did this hotel serve to promote the Swiss of America, 4,444 miles away in New Glarus?
Right. Well, you know, this building was actually constructed in 1853, And it was the hub in the center of New Glarus as a location where people were traveling through. But over time, it grew and had all these additions. But the town saw a decline with some closings of some of the businesses in the area. So in the 60s and 70s, the city came together with the residents and thought, hey, how can we bring people to our town? How can we bring people coming in, shopping, eating, and really have that tourism draw? So they created Project Edelweiss. And that was just a plan to make Nuclearis a cultural tourism destination as a center for Swiss heritage.
Mm-hmm. Which they were incredibly successful with and still is today a destination for America's Little Switzerland.
They are. They were very successful, and I'm very thankful for it because I enjoy going down there to their downtown. Robert Schneider was the owner and operated the hotel in 1960 through 75, and he was a prominent leader in bringing Swiss architectural elements and culture to the village.
So, but last I checked, that building is vacant, as I understand it. Do we, now that it's on the historic register, what do we know is going to be the future for the Nuclearis Hotel?
Well, the next step is it is at the National Park Service to be listed on the National Register.
Oh, wow.
But one of these, the draw of listing your properties on the State and National Register are tax credits. So our office facilitates a 20% income at the state level and matching 20% at the federal level to get credits for maintaining your building and keeping that historic sensibilities about it.
Oh, so there is a future for the Nuclearis Hotel and restaurant or whatever wants to go in there. I understand there's a $7 million restoration project in the works that could be portend the future for the Nuclearis Hotel, so it's something to keep an eye on.
Oh, absolutely. They have a wonderful team set up that has experience in doing this, so they know what they're building, and I can't wait for it to be completed.
I don't think I necessarily, Elizabeth, would have considered a shipwreck to be a place for the State Register of Historic Places. And yet it has made this list. In early March, the Margaret A. Meir shipwreck was added to the State Register of Historic Places. And this old ship's got quite a story.
It sure does. We actually list shipwrecks almost every single review board.
Really?
We have the most listed shipwrecks out of any of the states.
Why is that?
Well, there's state and federal laws that help protect these shipwreck sites. When you think about it, you have all these artifacts that may remain in the shipwrecks, as well as, unfortunately, some people who may have passed in the wreck as well. So we want to make sure that they are protected.
Now, the good news here is nobody perished, as I understand it, in the shipwreck of the Margaret A. Meir. But I do believe the captain's dog went down with the ship, as I read it. So kind of sad. It's off Algoma in Lake Michigan. And what makes this shipwreck so significant and historic, Elizabeth?
Well, this was a schooner that operated for 21 years on the Great Lakes. So it was transporting grain, lumber, and other bulk cargo trades from port to port. What's really fascinating about this ship is that it was carrying a lot of salt down to Chicago at the time when it was wrecked. And the Wisconsin Underwater Archaeology Association, otherwise known as WUA, identified this shipwreck and brought it to our maritime archaeologists at the SHPO, or the State Historic Preservation Office. And they were able to investigate it in a matter of months. But because of the salt that it was carrying, it was really protected.
Oh.
So quagga mussels are often, you'll find, populating whatever is down at the bottom of these lakes. And this did not have it. So it was really well preserved.
The salt preserved the shipwreck.
Yes. And we had no idea. So it's it has a lot of potential for us to study this.
Do we know how far out it is from Algoma's coastline and how far down in the water you'll find it?
Well, I know, Lee.
Of course. It's your job.
But because these are protected sites, we do not disclose the location of them.
Really?
Yes.
So it's a secret spot.
It is.
Wow. Did we know where this shipwreck was this entire time, or has this been something that's been refound recently?
Yeah, well, because we have this relationship with WUA as well as NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, they do such a wonderful job working as partners with our office and identifying these wrecks out there, as well as with other maritime volunteers who have a lot of experience with identifying shipwrecks. And they really collaborate to go out to check out these sites and see what's down there.
Now I can go to the New Glarus Hotel in New Glarus anytime I want and pick up some beer and have a great time in America's little Switzerland. But how can I find out more about the Margaret A. Muir shipwreck?
Oh, well, you just need to go to wisconsinhistory.org. And there is plenty of information that you can type in about any of the shipwrecks that are out there.
And you'd get some pictures there as well as how well preserved this ship is.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing what our maritime archaeologists can do. And the photos, they capture hundreds of feet down there.
And these are like little oceans, right? Because they've had so many shipwrecks and there is so much archaeology to be found at the floor of the Lake Superior. This one's in Lake Michigan, but at all the Great Lakes.
Absolutely. We have actually listed 90 shipwrecks and counting. There's so many more that we can't wait to discover the history behind each and every one of them and what happened to them because the waters could get so rough.
Elizabeth Hilton is our guest, National Register Coordinator for the State Historic Preservation Office at our Wisconsin Historical Society. Want to invite you to the conversation with your favorite historical spots across our state at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us, talk@wpr.org. Elizabeth, I want to turn our attention now to Madison, which put an early high-rise on the historic register this year. The Gay Building, now called the Churchill Building, which you'll find on the Capitol Square, and it may just seem to fit in to the Capitol Square's design today. You might not even notice that it's a historic building, but back in its day, it was something and really set the standard for construction around the Capitol.
That's right. This building is really important to our city's history. It was constructed between 1913 and 1915, and that was the same time that the Capitol was being reconstructed. So they definitely had a relationship, and it brought a lot of concern to city planners and residents. They were really worried because everybody values the Capitol much like we do today.
Sure.
And it's amazing that we can still see it from vantage points all across the surrounding areas. And it's thanks in part to the construction of this building.
This is a 9-story building, so it's not like a super high rise, but at the time in 1915, you'd think that is a tall building and it threatens to overshadow the state capitol. And we didn't want anything to overshadow the state capitol.
That's right. Well, 9 stories back in the early 1900s sure was a skyscraper, especially in Wisconsin. So they were really concerned with the visual appearance and questions about how it shaped the civic life around Madison. Could we handle the transportation of having more people right there on the square and creating that dense environment? So for decades, there were debates that was going on, and it went all the way up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, where they had to rule on the height of the building. So this building is a direct reflection of the laws that were enacted in our city and make sure zoning was in place to protect that viewshed.
That actually was a question that was addressed on the Wisconsin Today Show, I believe, just last month, because this debate about how tall a building can be and what it does to the view of our state capitol has persisted all the way to the present day. And the question of how high density we can make Madison as Madison continues to grow.
That's right. And housing continues to be a concern today. The Gay Building was an office building. But housing is really needed in the area. And of course, everybody wants to be in downtown Madison. And they want to walk around and not have to get into their car, unless, of course, it's January. But it's nice having that opportunity to enjoy the city.
Before we get to the calls here, I just want to take a moment for our state capitol building, because I've been to other state capitol buildings, and none of them compare. And as a historic preservation and a historic Wisconsin Historical Society, Elizabeth, there is just it may be easy to miss if you see it every day, but that state capitol continues to be an architectural treasure in Wisconsin.
It really is a treasure, but not just to Wisconsin. It's a national historic landmark, and it's wonderful that Madison has that to boast. I would go and visit that before I moved here, right down to the hardware on every single door and the various different uses of marble that's incorporated throughout the building. It really is gorgeous and very well done.
On a personal note, I used to work at the State Law Library and when it was located inside the state capitol. And if you were to ask me to find where that was today, I would struggle to be able to find it because it was such a meandering maze. I also remember being able to go up to the top outside in the state capitol and how amazing that was, in part because of the stories or the debate over how high buildings can be. So it's one thing to be able to see the capitol from anywhere. It's another thing to be able to see everything from atop the capitol.
Oh, and if you get an opportunity to go up there, I know I'm going to go back every summer. I like to take my family because it's just quite the view.
Elizabeth Hilton, our guest, National Register Coordinator for the State Historic Preservation Office of the Wisconsin Historical Society. We're looking at the newest additions to the Historic Register, and we'll take your calls when we continue at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today, and this is WPR News. Don't miss tomorrow on the show when Larry returns to talk about the importance of advanced care directives. We'll also look at what you can do about your debt and a personal bankruptcy. We'll have attorneys on hand. They'll be answering your questions. And we'll also take a look at how communities around our state are dealing with food insecurity in a way that's making a difference. Join Larry tomorrow from 11 to 1 right here on WPR News for the Larry Mueller Show. Right now, we're talking to Elizabeth Hilton about the latest additions to our State Historic Register. She is the National Register Coordinator for the State Historic Preservation Office inside our Wisconsin Historical Society. And we're taking your calls as well if you've got a shout out for your favorite historic places, maybe the next one to add to the list or one that's already there. Join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us, talk@wpr.org. We'll go to Madeline in Oneida. Madeline, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
I was wondering, when you pick a place like that, do you assist with restoring the building if the basic structure is still there?
Elizabeth?
Yeah, well, through our historic tax credit program, we have architects that are qualified to help guide you, but we often recommend that you hire a consultant that are well experienced and well versed in knowing the Secretary of the Interior standards. So if you do want to take advantage of tax credits, you do have to follow Park Service guidelines, and they can help you with that.
Hey, Madeline, why do you ask?
My question is financially, do you help financially?
There were tax credits, right?
Yes. Unfortunately, I wish we had bundles of cash under our desks that we could hand out across the state. But unfortunately, there's not any funding for that. But it is really wonderful. We are so lucky in Wisconsin to have a state tax credit program, not only for income-producing properties, but also there's a 25% credit for homeowners.
Oh, and Madeline, you're in Oneida. What do you have in mind? What are you thinking about there?
There was a little building. It was called, we called it Chicago Corner Store. It was owned by Ray and Marion Moss. It was a brick building, and it was just we all went to that store. And anyway, right next to it, it was Hotkiewicz Cheese Factory, where the Oneidas that were farmers, we hauled our milk there. But also in Seymour, there's a Seymour Hotel, and right across the street from it is the Hittner building. Dr. Hittner served the whole surrounding community, both the white community and the Indian community. Dr. Hittner actually knew how to speak Oneida, and he would go out with his one-horse sleigh to serve the Oneida people.
Oh, that's great.
So much history there. And you mentioned the Chicago Corner Store is something that was. Is there any remnants of it that still exist, Madeline?
I mean, it's still there, but no one has maintained it.
Yeah.
It would totally have to be restored, and I don't know that there's anybody that has the money that could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Madeline, I can tell you that if you contact our office either by phone or email, go onto our website, wisconsinhistory.org. We would love to know more about these buildings. They sound like really wonderful properties. We're actually planning on listing a cheese factory that's been in operation for over 100 years on our next State Historic Preservation Review Board, and we'd love to list properties that are significant for their ethnic heritage as well. So we'd love to find out more about them.
And there are four great stories from those four buildings right there in Oneida. So, Madeline, thank you so much for sharing it with us today. And you're invited to our conversation, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Getting back to the newest additions to the historic register, this one's a little weird because it's not a park. It's a series of parks in Racine, Elizabeth. Explain the Root River Parks in Racine.
Oh, the Root River Parks is such a treasure within the city of Racine. It's right there along the Root River, and it's a collection of four parks that are linked together that surround the river, and it's just a gem in the city. And it's really important because it reflects the Board of Park Commissioners' desire to create the citywide park system back in 1905. So that was a huge milestone in local planning.
Kind of like high-rises in the early 20th century. You wouldn't think twice about it today, but back in the day, something like a citywide park system would be kind of revolutionary.
Absolutely. And they were so fortunate because they hired Jens Jensen, and he was one of the most prolific landscape architects at the time, that initiated this prairie style.
Yeah.
And it's just really beautiful of incorporating the natural environment and having these meandering paths and meadows. And it just really brought people out from the urban center to experience nature.
What do these parks look like today in Racine, Elizabeth?
Oh, they do such a wonderful job taking care of it. The city does. And they also have a Friends of the Park system as well. So there's a lot of people who care about that park and not just to go play golf.
I've got an email here from Grant who wants to know if you know offhand, Elizabeth, which Frank Lloyd Wright buildings have made the State Register of Historic Places. Is the Monona Terrace in Madison included since it's based on his designs but not actually his?
I wish I could list all the buildings that are listed on the State National Register by Frank Lloyd Wright, because he is our state architect in a sense. We do love a good Wright building. One of the most recent Wright properties we actually listed a year ago, and that was out at Taliesin, and that's the Spring Green Restaurant. So if you go out there and you want to visit Taliesin, and I tell you, you do want to go visit Taliesin, it's just such a beautiful site. That's your visitor center when you walk in there, and it is just really intact. And that building was started by Wright, but unfortunately, he did not get to see it being completed because he passed away. So William Wesley Peters came in. He was one of his best architects that worked there at Taliesin alongside Wright, and he helped finish the project.
So you can go see that today.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's right there along the Wisconsin River.
Our final addition is actually in the town of Crystal Lake in Marquette County, and it is the St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, along with some of the other property around it. This one has a lot of history in it.
It sure does, and it's a real treat. I don't know about you, Lee, but I love traveling around in the rural landscapes.
Old churches and barns.
Oh,
old churches and barns.
Absolutely. It gets you right in your heart, right? You just love it. And you see these rural churches, and a lot of them are really high-style architecture.
Yes.
Because those are the gathering spot for the rural community. If it wasn't your local cheese factory where you're bringing your milk every day, it's where you're going every Sunday and you're worshiping. So St. John's Evangelical was placed on the register for its Gothic Revival architecture. And it just has those... it's clad in brick. It has a center steeple plan. It has these gorgeous pointed arch stained glass windows that are original. But then when you walk inside, you have original pressed tin that has this trefoil church pointed arch design. And it is all throughout the inside. And it's just a real treat.
How ornate is that, and how does a little community like Crystal Lake end up having such a jewel in their backyard?
Well, fortunately for churches, that's where a lot of these farmers wanted to put in the money. It's where they really cared.
They invested in their community
this way. Exactly, yes.
And you see that still today at St. John's.
You really do. And unfortunately, it has a dwindling population right now, but the congregation really cares about the property, and not just the church, also with the cemetery associated with it and the Sunday school building located across the street.
Little schoolhouse there.
That's right. We love a good schoolhouse out there in the rural landscape.
The one thing that I get from you is, Elizabeth, is how excited you are about these properties and these experiences and these stories that they tell. For folks who love history, how do they find a way to have a career in history, to be able to do this for a living? Because I know a lot of folks like you, I just don't know a lot of jobs like yours.
No, and I was very fortunate that I came into this, but there are history programs that are really well done with great experience located in Wisconsin. So down in Milwaukee at UWM, or over on the western side in Eau Claire, or even the history program right here in Madison has wonderful teachers that can help guide you.
And find a way to make this what you can do for a living?
Absolutely.
I just think that's the coolest part. You can do this all day, travel the state, find these stories that you get to share with everybody else, and then, you know, the ones that really stand out become part of our historic register.
Absolutely. And it's really important to learn about our nation's history, our state's history, the people who came before us and what they were doing. And I'm very fortunate to be a part of it. And I hope the next generation is too.
So could you give us a hint, a clue, or some glimpse of what's on the future for our state historic register?
Oh, I sure can, Lee.
Yeah.
So in May, we have our next State Historic Preservation Review Board meeting. And we have a historic district out in Prairie du Chien. It's the Blackhawk Avenue Historic District, as well as St. Gabriel's Roman Catholic Church Complex in Prairie du Chien.
Oh.
So those are two great areas out there. But then in Milwaukee, we have the Carlton District Number 3 School. We have, of course, have another shipwreck that's out in Door County. And a contemporary house here in Madison.
Interesting.
I'm really excited about this one. And then lastly, we have the Portage Canal, which is already listed on the National Register. But back in the day, in the 70s, when they first started listing these properties, they're only a couple pages long, and there's so much more history to tell.
Well, then, Elizabeth, you're going to have to return so that you can tell it. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Lee.
Elizabeth Hilton, National Register Coordinator for the State Historic Preservation Office at the Wisconsin Historical Society. Thanks for listening, and thanks to our team, Clara Neipert, Joel Patinaw, Jeff Robbins, and our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Lee Rayburn, in for Larry today. Larry returns tomorrow here on The Larry Mueller Show.